Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Jeremy Dayton at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's guest, Kimberly Dvorak, Senior Foreign Policy Advisor for the Committee for Foreign Responsibility, talking about a couple of things, including let's talk about the border, and maybe we'll even talk about some impeachment. What border? Well, it's jumping on Hezbollah narco-terrorism bandwagon. Yes, interesting. And in the second hour, Selwyn Duke from The New American with all of his latest, including game-stopping freedom. No, it wasn't the Super Bowl. It's another subject, yes. In the news, rescuers in northern India were working today to rescue more than three dozen power plant workers trapped in a tunnel after part of the Himalayan glacier broke off, sent a wall of water and debris rushing down the mountain in a disaster that has left 18 people dead, 165 missing. More than 2,000 members of the military, parliamentary groups, and police have been taking part in a search and rescue operation in the northern state after yesterday's flood, which destroyed one dam, damaged another, and washed away homes downstream. Lawyers for former President Trump today submitted a brief saying the Democrats' effort to convict the president in an impeachment trial after he left office is political theater, and that the trial is outside the Senate's constitutional authority. Quote, instead of acting to heal the nation, or at least focusing on prosecuting the lawbreakers who stormed the Capitol, the Speaker of the House and her allies have tried to callously harness the chaos of the moment for their own political gain, the brief says. Sports note, no, it's not the Super Bowl. President Joe Biden is reportedly trying to delay the start of the Major League Baseball season. But those efforts seem to be falling short, according to reports saying spring training is expected to start on time, despite pressure to stop. Remember flatten the curve, good times? Well, the president of the Players Association, Tony Clark, and the rest of the committee didn't participate in talks with the Biden administration because there's nothing to discuss. President Biden said himself that there's little he can do to slow the virus, so that essentially means he's asking the American people and Major League Baseball to put things on hold for no reason. Maybe some people weren't aware that Biden doesn't have a clue how to stop the COVID outbreak, but we knew, says Gary Sheinfeld, and the guy complained tirelessly about Trump's lack of leadership, and now Biden's leadership consists of asking us to wear a mask the way we did before and postponed baseball. Major League Baseball lost billions of dollars with no fan presence in 2020, so they're defying pressure to close up shop now the way they should have done last year. In MLBPPA released the following statement, quote, this statement means that the Players Association is tired of losing money behind failing science. These players and representatives were told if protocols were followed, their lives would return to normal and that money would start to flow again. They were lied to, and so were the American people. If Major League Baseball is finally standing up to the federal government and gets this season rolling on time, then it seems the nation is finally healing after all. Wow. Well, another good one from Daniel Horowitz, titled House Republicans Should All Resign Their Committee Assignments and Create Their Own. He says Congress doesn't govern anymore. The executive and judicial branches control every aspect of our lives, and Congress only exists to virtue signal and sign off on the president's insane budget without holding him accounting for power grabs. This is true of both parties when they have control of either Congress or the White House. Yet with Democrats violating basic constitutional and even human rights of the GOP minority, why not actually break off and form a much more powerful messaging operation, given that the existing Congress is all about talk? While Congress gets to determine the rules and proceedings of its body with majority support, Democrats have now run the chamber in such a way that it violates at least the spirit of democratic representation of individual members of Congress. Representatives cannot speak without muzzles on their mouth. They are prevented from uttering a number of things thanks to new rules, and now they're frisked on their way to the chamber, which are all in violation of the prohibition in Article 1, Section 6, against detaining a congressman on the way to work. Representatives have the right to talk, debate freely, and offer amendments. Article 1, Section 6 not only prevents them from being detained on the way to and from work, it also guarantees them the right to speak and debate freely. Freely. You got it? Some might find their speech repugnant, but that's what elections are for. This principle has been completely abrogated by the new rules of this Congress. Now they're picking members they don't like and throwing them off the committees, even though they were duly elected by the people. Well, committees don't do any work anyway, nor can they offer amendments on the floor. All the important legislation that actually affects our future is crafted behind closed doors by lobbyists and executive branch officials, and is either ensconed in a budget bill or an emergency bill, which is then voted on within hours of being introduced. So what's the point of the GOP members remaining in the House as a minority only to suffer abuse and humiliation without even being able to investigate, propose amendments, and use their voices? There is nothing in the Constitution prohibiting them from simply breaking off and refusing to show up, opting instead to form their own shadow Congress. No, they will not conduct votes and obviously will wield no constitutional authority, but as mentioned, this is essentially what the real Congress does anyway. It's all about social media virtue signaling. Their voices matter so much more than their votes, given our broken structure of government. So why not use their voices when and where they can attack and talk freely? They should divide members into shadow committees and hold fact-finding field hearings with guests to educate the public on the threat to civil liberties posed by COVID fascism, the two-tiered justice system, illegal immigration, and rampant crime, just to name a few issues. Now, rather than the same boring C-SPAN video, people would be able to view on a platform like Rumble an array of exciting guests and witnesses. Again, it would have no legal grounding, but everything that goes on in Congress anyway is nothing but showboating. So, why not do a better job of it? Nothing is stopping Republicans from putting out reports, broadcasting hearings, posting speeches, and giving voice to the concerns of their constituents. Democrats with their majority will do what they want to do anyway and always have the votes to pass anything. If they want to run the House like a dictatorship, why not let them have their freedom and show the American people their unvarnished radicalism without the Republicans as a distraction? Now, this is not cutting and running. Democrats have declared war on Republicans by kicking Representative Marjorie Greene off committees as a president that will not end with her. They are openly discussing banning members outright. So why play in their rigged system and get humiliated? Republican members should use their voices as private citizens with the notoriety of elected officials to augment the voices of their constituents more effectively. A sane Republican Party would resign all committee posts in protest, regardless of what they think of Taylor Greene personally. This is a body that hosts members with ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. This is a body that hosts Representative Alcee Hastings, who was one of the only federal judges in history to be removed through impeachment. In 1989, he was removed for a charge of taking a bribe in exchange for a lenient sentence. He was originally impeached by the House, which was then controlled by the Democrats, 413-3. Why isn't he thrown off committees? Let you think about that one. Ilhan Omar, she made anti-Semitic insinuations, downplayed 9/11, the exact same conspiracy theories that Greene is accused of parroting. Now, where's the censor vote or effort to strip her committee assignments? And speaking of committee assignments, Representative Eric Swalwell, accused of being in bed literally with a Chinese spy, Yet he not only sits on the Homeland Security and Intel committees, but is one of the Democratic impeachment managers. Jerry Nadler, the current Judiciary Committee chair, secured a clemency for Susan Rosenberg. This is the woman who planted a bomb in this very Capitol in 1983. And he is in charge of the Law and Order Committee of this chamber that was bombed. Now, some might suggest that in the case of Hastings, his Florida constituents knew about his history and still voted to elect him to Congress years later, and he therefore has a right to serve. Daniel Horowitz goes on and says he actually agrees with that sentiment, but that should apply to Taylor Greene, too. See, we're not talking about new behavior in office. These comments she has made about conspiracy theories were well known. Either her constituents don't care or they're so sick of fake Republicans going along with much more harmful conspiracy theories being peddled like clowns like Dr. Fauci, that they would rather elect someone who believes in a bizarre conspiracy theory but gives voice to them on the core issue than members who don't believe in these theories but give voice to bizarre conspiracy theories like lockdowns and masks stopping a virus. Either way, that is their constitutional right to vote for her, as it is for Elise Hastings, Ilhan Omar, and a number of other repugnant Democrats who are either corrupt, anti-Semitic, or racist. Black Lives Matter and Antifa are rioting and promoting insurrection to this very day. They've destroyed more public and private property in 1 hour of rioting than right-wing criminals January 6th, and have killed many more people. Should every Democrat and rhino who has promoted BLM and Antifa be removed from Congress? Either the two must play the same game, or it's time to play our own game, and for once, make the left react and play follow the leader. The sadistic double standard and two-tiered system is unsustainable. I'll tell you, Senior Editor, Conservative Review, Daniel Horowitz, hits another winner right on the head. Like I keep on saying, it's that double standard. Well, former President Donald Trump's legal team accused House Democrats of playing games in their attempt to get him to testify at this week's Senate impeachment trial. House impeachment managers wrote to them last Thursday, inviting Trump to appear in person and be questioned about what those Democrats contend was his role in inciting the January 6th Capitol riot. And it didn't take long for Trump to respond in exactly the fashion you would expect. Trump lawyers dismissed it as a PR stunt, made it pretty clear the former president will not be testifying. So there, yes. Hunter Biden's new memoir detailing the tough times he's had in life, being a drug-addicted son to a powerful American politician, well, it's hit number one on Amazon's bestseller list, albeit it is under the category, are you ready for this, Chinese biographies. Yeah. While the categories are determined by algorithm, possibly metadata, the category is at very least amusing given that Hunter Biden was implicated by the New York Post original reporting in an influence peddling scheme with Chinese officials, and then Vice President Biden. Well, I've got more on little Hunter Biden here right after we take this award-winning break. By the way, tomorrow's guest, Frank Bernuccio, let's give him a fair trial before he hang him. That's not the guest. That would be one Donald Trump. And then, of course, Kelly Nelson, our world-famous researcher, will be here with her latest. But now, well, right around the corner, Kimberly Dvorak. Yes.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Anthony Mackie and Jamie Dornan play two paramedics in New Orleans who struggle to deal with a series of horrific crimes associated with a new designer drug with time-traveling effects in the new horror sci-fi film Synchronic, now available on Blu-ray.
You all right?
I'm fine.
What's going on with you?
I want to know that there's meaning in the things I do.
And there's deeper meaning in the ongoing investigation when the teenage daughter of one of these two buddies mysteriously disappears. The twisty plot is ridiculous, of course, but the performance by Anthony Mackie is superior, and so are the haunting camera work and effects. This film is rated a hard R with gruesome violence and gushing, gaping wounds. 2.5 stars for Synchronic.
This feature brought to you by the Thank Heaven Foundation.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef. Broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at rootschris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
When you really want Italian food, you've got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. And due to Columbo's multitude of clamoring clientele demanding the immediate reopening of their mecca of gustatorial magnificence, Columbo's heeds the call to feed the famished on their picturesque patio. Columbo's has triumphantly reopened! Savor their mouth-watering, delectable steaks, the freshest fish offerings, Columbo's family Italian dishes, the world's greatest meatballs, all at a price that'll have you ooh and ah with delight. Yowza! Yes, it's time once again to tingle your taste buds and treasure the Columbo's experience. Columbo's has reopened, and still, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mangia bene.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN. Another reminder, Kimberly Dvorak coming up after the bottom of the hour with her latest. Selwyn Duke, The New American, second hour. Back to Hunter Biden's memoir. The New York Post stories on Hunter Biden and his business dealings and allegations that his father was either a participant or very least aware of his son's doing, all suppressed by the social media sites just before election. And Twitter prevented the Post stories from being shared on its platform, banned the New York Post account for a time, said that outright that the information on which the Post gathered their data on Biden's alleged schemes was from an unlawful hack. This was proven to be untrue, of course, but, they got away with it. Facebook, too, they suppressed the stories from being shared on their platform. Both CEOs, Jack Dorsey, Mark Zuckerberg, they were brought into Congress to testify before the Senate and explain just what they believe gave them the authority or the right to ban reporting on a political candidate in the final throes of a contentious election season. And they revealed that they had no proof to back up their suppression. The Biden campaign and now administration has refused to address all these underlying allegations concerning President Biden, his son, the rest of the family's involvement in influence peddling or outright shady foreign business undertakings. Instead, they just dismiss the stories outright, assuring that a friendly leftist media will simply drop the stories, as in fact they have done. Many outlets went so far as to explain why they were not reporting on the Hunter Biden stories rather than actually look into them. These included NBC, NPR, and others. And Biden went so far as to say entirely baselessly that the information obtained with regard to his son's misdeeds was Russia disinformation. This narrative was picked up, of course, by the media, despite there being nothing to back it up. In fact, an investigation revealed that the source from which that information was gathered was an American disinformation. Yes, Hunter Biden's publisher is a subsidiary of Simon & Schuster. Wait a minute, They're publishing Hunter Biden's book, but they just dropped the book they promised they were going to publish by Senator Josh Hawley. What was that book about? Why did they? Oh, that book was all about censorship and big tech. Mm-hmm. And their statement said roughly that they believe Hawley was, without proof, party to the Capitol Hill riot. My goodness. If you watched it on TV, I guess you were part of the riot, huh? Yeah. Hey, a little later on, you know, Selwyn Duke will be telling you, in case you didn't hear about, talk about giving information on that. Here's one that you need to know about, all right? Former President Donald Trump lost close to half of his wealth during the time he served as president. Trump left office with a net worth of about $2.5 billion, and that was down from the $4.5 billion when he announced his candidacy for president in 2015. Trump was 121 on Forbes' list of wealthiest Americans, so if you're complaining about that, you know, you got 120 others that are ahead of him when it comes to money. He saw his net worth, that is, fall from $3.1 billion in 2019 to the current $2.5 billion amid an economic recession brought on by the government lockdowns that severely hit industries where Trump held many assets. Multiple entities also cut ties with the former presidency during the waning days of his administration after he faced accusation of inciting the January 6th riot there in the Capitol. And the Trump Organization saw a decline in revenue of 38%, as well as 2020, down to $278 million. Now, one bright spot for Trump in 2020 was his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida, which saw the income rise 13% in 2020, from $21.4 million to $24.2 million. Mar-a-Lago has, in the past, made more than $30 million. But a very interesting one here that a lot of people say, oh, that's fake news, that never happened, never, never, never. What a lot of people don't realize that Trump did have a salary of $400,000. That's his yearly salary as president. No, he didn't get the big raise. Okay, $400,000, right? However, he donated all of his quarterly checks to various causes throughout his term in office. He didn't take the $400,000. And by the way, he never talked about the fact that he wasn't taking the $400,000. Other people did, but not him. I did. Yes, I did. Okay. Hey, Kimberly Dvorak, she should be streaming live on Periscope. You spell that last name D-V-O-R-A-K, is coming up next.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining al fresco. Romantic, market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails, like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder here. Let me tell you about my guest, Kimberly Dvorak, award-winning national security and border security investigative reporter for TV, radio, and the print media. She is the senior foreign policy advisor for the Committee for Responsible Foreign Policy. Kimberly is also TV correspondent, CW6 News San Diego, as well as One America News Network. Her website, thekdreport.com, and she should be streaming live right now at Facebook. I'll check and see. Kimberly, are you there?
I am there. How are you doing, Chuck?
I am here too. Yes. Did you go to the Super Bowl game, Kimberly?
No. Sadly missed the halftime as well. So.
the greatest performance ever? Nope. Not, they say.
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's get into some serious stuff here. Jumping on the Hezbollah narco-terrorism bandwagon. This is some interesting information here.
Yeah, I thought we'd, kind of change it up a little bit here and talk about, I think that, most Americans that, knew when President Trump came into office, he was going to build the wall. He was worried about the security along that southern border. Mm-hmm. And I thought that it would be kind of an interesting little topic to kind of go back and revisit Hezbollah. And, we're learning with a lot of these terrorist organizations that they are now finding that while, of course, if you're a Muslim, then you are not going to be participating in using drugs or alcohol. but wait a minute, you can make a lot of money to fund your cause by selling and manufacturing drugs, which Hezbollah has joined the team. I think that, this testimony, coupled with our friend China, who is manufacturing the fentanyl and sending it directly to the drug cartels in Mexico, presents a terrorist-like movement, and our borders are not secure enough to actually prevent that, drug, pipeline from going over the border or under the border.
Well, and you're talking about where Italy, all right, where they seized 84 million counterfeit pills, and these apparently the pills were seized in the southern Italian port of Salerno, worth 1 billion euros. That sounds like a lot to me. 1 billion euros, yes. Go ahead.
It's a lot, but this is where, like, the EU, most westernized countries are finding, especially now with the pandemic, that you're having an increase in drug use, personal drug use. So, if you're a drug trafficker, a drug smuggler, or a drug manufacturer, you're going to jump on this industry because you're going to make a lot of money at it. And currently, where Hezbollah seems to be manufacturing the drugs is on the Syrian border, because we know that the peace-loving people with the Arab Spring, took hold in Syria, and it's just a great prosperous country. And of course, I'm being sarcastic because there's nothing left of the country. So now we've taken a country that was actually part of the world civilization and reduced it to nothing more than a terrorist country that now manufactures methamphetamine. So, and we've seen this in Afghanistan, where the Taliban, before we went in, they were really strong. They eradicated the poppies in Afghanistan. Along comes the U.S., launches a terror, our counterterrorism into Afghanistan because they said they're training terrorists and we have to blow them all up.
Yeah.
So what happens is now you see the Taliban, now they're shepherding over these poppy fields, and they're actually manufacturing and growing more poppies than ever. Again, this is a byproduct of war. And the United States has been at war in the Middle East for roughly 20 years, maybe some say more, if we're looking at proxy wars, including in that. But what we have to see is that what happens with the drug use, and when it gets down to people, and how it destroys populations and families and communities, and these narco traffickers that they're calling them across the globe are doing it for a reason. They can, A, make money at it, and while they're at it, they can bring down the Western world.
Yeah, and it's not like they're shipping in counterfeit tennis shoes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is very serious stuff. And also, I've seen some reports just recently where there's a liquid that's required in all this, most of the methamphetamines that are coming across the border that's killing so many people. And the liquid is actually made in China, all right? And then it snuck in either into Canada or it snuck into mainly Mexico so it can get into here. Mm-hmm. And, everything you're saying, Kimberly, like there's more poppies and all this stuff, and the things that are being going on out there, it's like the average person doesn't hear about it. Is it because the mainstream media was had to have too much bad news about Trump? Was it also you weren't hearing about it on Fox? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Well, where you're going to hear a lot of this from, especially with the drug manufacturing and trafficking, is a lot of the anti-war groups out there. I mean, myself included, have been warning that, look, there are consequences for being at war with countries. And in some cases, the U.S. is like at war, and we're not actually at war because Congress does not want to do their job, and they keep relying on the failed Patriot Act. But when you look at these things, and I think that this, this through the prism of like defense contractors and through the prism of governments and the defense Department of Defense, I mean, they are in the business of war. And if there's no war, then they're out of business. And when you look at the DEA, you're looking at the DEA now, after after the Patriot Act was passed in a revision in 2006, the DEA actually bumped up, what they were working on, and now they became, counterterrorism, narco people. They've been going over, and they're taking credit for bringing down Al-Qaeda and ISIS and the Taliban and FARC down in Colombia. So you're looking at all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And again, at the end of the day, it's to feed the government, it's to feed war, and it's to crush the dreams of the middle class and the communities that are taking such a huge hit in this country due to the pandemic and the job loss and the likelihood of a lot of those jobs not coming back because we now have a Biden administration who wants to shut down energy.
Yeah.
So you're going to see this grow. And we have a willing, population here that is willing to jump into the drugs because they just don't know what to do. They're aimless. And the government's not really looking after their needs because they're feeding the government. They're feeding the defense department. They're feeding the defense contractors, and they're feeding war. So what the media talks about. They do not talk about this because this is but the consequences of all that other stuff.
Yeah, I got to apologize to Fox News because it wasn't drugs. But in your report, you're talking about Roger Noriega, former U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Western Hemispheric Affairs. And Noriega in 2011 sounded the alarm at Fox News that Venezuela State Airline ferrying terrorists and weapons to our own neighborhood. When it says own neighborhood, I'm trying to figure out which part of the neighborhood. Was it South L.A.? Was it East New York? Yes.
Yeah. Well, again, this goes back to, I think, why President Trump, it was so important for him to try to get this border wall through. And he just reached barrier, literally, after barrier after barrier.
Yeah.
And, it's a little disheartening that he didn't get to finish that project because, maybe then we would know, at least have a lot more control as to what's going, across the border and under the border because of the tunnels. They're coming under the border as well, getting that product in here. But over the weekend, there was a video that was making the rounds. At least I saw it, came through my mailbox several times. And it's about the giant fence that's built around the entire Capitol area. So it's a big, tall fence. And it's got razor wire and all
the United States Capitol. Yes, we get that through
the United States Capitol. Yes. So I mean, it's a giant wall, and it's a really funny but sadly true situation where the Congress is completely putting a wall around themselves. Where Nancy Pelosi was saying walls are racist, walls don't work.
Yeah.
Walls are terrible. They're un-American. Go through all of that stuff. And it was, and the person that did the video is pretty clever in putting all of her little press conferences where she was talking negatively about the wall. It was, it was Turning Point USA. So
I always bring up the point, that the Pope also mentioned about he didn't like the wall, when Trump got elected. And the Vatican's got one of the best walls in the world.
Pretty
and
big one. Yep.
The Democrats always tell these walls on the border, they're keeping the children out. It's for the children. I tell you, kind of like the Capitol wall that we now have, right? That's to keep the children out. Yeah. I think you're a member of, the Antifa, you're probably at least 18 or 19. Yes.
Antifa and Black Lives Matter, they were over in DuPont Circle doing their marches this weekend saying, burn it down, burn it down. I don't know that they realized their guy got into the office. So are they still wanting to burn things down? I don't understand the movement, I guess. I mean, I think that they, at their core, they may have some values that they adhere to. But, it just seems like every other day it's like, okay, wait a minute. I thought they were for this, and they're not. And then they move off to that.
They say, Kimberly, we were on a roll. Don't stop us now. My goodness.
Or they want the publicity. So, that's probably it.
Hey, I want you to touch on, because you brought up a lot about Israel here, and I think it was April 1996. Let me see. Sheltering refugees in the United Nations. You want to use a little bit on that? I know that after the break we're going to get into supposedly there's some important trial that's going to hang some terrorist that was responsible for the bombing of the Capitol. We'll mention that guy, whoever he is. Yeah, boy.
Okay.
But
we'll get to
Israel.
That, I just wanted to also mention that when you're looking at the drug use, and the where Hezbollah kind of came from and their growth within the realms of the terrorism world. Now, in 1982, they were in the middle of a civil war in Lebanon, and the Israelis invaded the country, their military invaded the country, and killed roughly 20,000 people of Lebanon. Lebanon is a small, tiny country, very small population base. It used to actually be the French Riviera of the Middle East, no longer the case. But that kind of sparked Hezbollah's, you know, rise to power. And because they, you know, look at Israel and they look at America, you know, the big devil, the little devil type, and they throw us into that. And also, I wanted to kind of point that out, that, you know, maybe had that event not have happened, then the Lebanese, you know, buyers would not have, like, made their way to Mexico, because they actually do help the cartels build those borders underground. And when you look at the design of them and you compare them to what's in the Middle East, you know, it's been, you know, proven that, you know, they are really good tunnel builders, and they've been helping our enemies. And they want the drugs, and they want the, you know, weapons and whatnot to come into this country, because they would love to see America take itself down without, you know, being a big war, which we're on our way to doing, by the way. You know, and, you know, going through and seeing how divisive this country has become, and there's been zero unity after the new, you know, president was put into the Oval Office, only more and more division, and kicking people when they're down instead of saying, here's a hand, let's get up and talk, and let's, you know, get back to your corner, and we'll all, you know, move on from here. That hasn't happened. I think that Israel plays a huge role here, and I think that Israel has a lot to answer for when it comes to these kind of issues, because they seem to act first and think about the consequences later. And I think this is a direct result of that.
You know, another thing you mentioned in your latest report is this Pulitzer Prize winning journalist Ginger Thompson. In 2015, The New Yorker, Trafficking in Terror, and she was talking about where former senior money laundering investigator at the U.S. Department tells her that following the 9/11 attacks and the funneling of resources went into terrorism rather than to drug enforcement. I'm assuming that didn't mean they all the money went into terrorism. Some of it probably still stuck in drug enforcement, right? But
And when you think, and when most people think of terrorism, I mean, you know, 9/11, very tragic, happened, no doubt about it. We had, you know, terrorist attack on our country on 9/11. And you look at the terrorism, and if most people think about terrorists and where they live, they, you know, really associate that with the Middle East. They don't associate that with Canada or Mexico and things like that. However, you know, if you take all the money away from the drugs, our enemies are looking at things like that and saying, okay, you know, we're going after the weaknesses. What's the number one weakness the Americans seem to have? We don't want to build a fortified border wall, A, and B, a lot of Americans are addicted to drugs.
Yep.
So what better way to dumb down and wash out an entire generation of young people than to give them more drugs than they can dream of? And with the advent of fentanyl being thrown into the drug market, you know, the overdoses have been tremendous. And we still seem to be pouring trillions of dollars into the Middle East, and we're not looking after our own society, our own people in this country. And that should be addressed. I think if you ask most Americans, do you think we should put in this money over in the Middle East? Because if we have really good borders, and we don't need to worry about them sneaking across the border, because we'll have a good border.
Yep.
And unless they're super good swimmers, they're not getting across the Atlantic. So I think that, you know, it's just time. And I'm, you know, it's not heartening to say what the Biden-Harris administration is going to do. They're going to, you know, let this turn into more of a free-for-all. Yeah. But the longer we
don't wonder, it's a wonder they're Biden and Harris are not saying, what wall? What wall? We just built a brand new wall, didn't we? Yes, we did. Hey, Kimberly Dvorak's going to be right back. And when we return, we'll talk about some impeachment, okay, with Kimberly Dvorak. And it is thekdreport.com.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef. Broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at rootschris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor today. You may be able to save on Linzess and make fewer trips to the pharmacy. See if you're eligible to pay as little as $30 for 90 days. Visit Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder with Kimberly Dvorak. And today, on the airing of this show, lawyers from former President Trump today submitted a brief saying that the effort to convict the president in the impeachment trial is a political theater. It's outside the Senate's constitutional authority, and just forget it. You know, you don't need to insult him anymore. I made up the last part, of course. Well, Kimberly, he probably said more than that under his breath, you know.
Yeah, most likely.
I would.
So tomorrow we're going to, be the second impeachment trial of the President of the United States. Congress still has yet to see the rules of this so-called impeachment of the president, who actually is living in Florida, not in the White House any longer. And presumably, we're going to see that he's going to be, you know, tried over incitement for insurrection of the United States, and they will have to take away the president's complete and total First Amendment rights, which is free speech. And this is, you know, something that we have seen the left over and over. Go on TV, you're going to pay, Six Ways to Sunday, the intel community will come and get you. Those kind of statements that we've heard are Maxine Waters. If you see a Trump person in a restaurant, in, you know, the mall, chase them down, chase them out. They have no place. You go get them and you tell them they are not wanted.
Yeah.
Those kind of statements are okay on the left. And while I was like looking at this and looking at the impeachment, and, you know, I just think it's pretty much it's going to be a sham,
you know,
going through.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I see this picture in my mind of Nancy Pelosi sitting at the impeachment trial and slowly tearing up the Constitution of the United States of America. Wouldn't that be a good political joke?
There you go. She would do that. If you do that meme, you may find yourself arrested by the federal government these days. So let's be careful about that.
Yeah, there is a different guy in office. You can do it with the State of the Union address, but not the Constitution. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Well, just want to make this last point, that while I was looking at all this stuff, it was brought to my attention that back in 1983, that there was a bombing, an actual bombing at the U.S. Capitol. And the bombing was perpetrated by a group called M19. They were a left-wing communism organization. And this person that was arrested, Susan Rosenberg, was her sentence was commuted by Bill Clinton. And I'd like to leave this with the listener and go do the research. Right? I triple-checked all of this. She's now a leading member for Black Lives Matter. There's an actual photograph of the U.S. Capitol building that was blown up in the North Wing, and the intent was to kill Republicans. So we need to go back to 1983 and see this. So hopefully somebody within the Trump administration or Trump's lawyers will bring it to their attention that this has actually happened before, because Democrats want this. American people think that this, there's never been anything that's happened like this at the Capitol building, and that's just simply not true. I mean, when they had the Me Too rallies, they broke into the U.S. Capitol and were wandering around, taking pictures, doing whatever they wanted, and it wasn't a big deal. So I just, it's time for people to kind of calm down about all this. President's out of office, President Trump's out of office. Let's sit down. Let's start working on what the people of this country need, and let's get back to work for the American communities across the globe.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to give up their double standard, Kimberly, and that example from 1983, probably the best, absolutely. Hey, listen, next week, can you do next week on a Wednesday?
Oh, yeah.
Okie dokie. Kimberly Dvorak, and it's thekdreport.com. Check it out, because this whole report will be on there also. Yep. Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
All righty. Thanks,
Kevin. All right. Kimberly Dvorak, D-V-O-R-A-K. We'll be right back. Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here with Jeremy Dayton at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. The show is repeated 155,000 times over a three-year period. Okay. Hey, let me tell you about my guest, Selwyn Duke. He has written for The New American. You got that? The New American. He also wrote for The Hill, The Observer, The American Conservative, WorldNet Daily, American Thinker. And he contributes to college textbooks published by Gale Synage Learning. And, of course, he appears on television, frequent guest on radio. His website is Selwyn, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke.com. And now, here is the Duke. Duke, Duke, Duke. Think he's always welcome. Yes, he. Hey, Mr. Duke, how are you?
Hi there, Chuck. I'm doing okay, and I'm not going to sing because my voice is not as good as yours, but I have to say, how am I doing? Well, I'm buried under snow here in New York, but the good news is that it's only deep snow that keeps the government in New York from getting to you, and I guess I can always build maybe a snow castle being a Duke, right? How are
you,
Chuck?
Go. You were, yes, very good. Very good. I'm pretty good. Let's see. Yeah. Yes, I am. I'm doing okay, I guess. Let me spin the needle here. What do you? Yes, I'm 92%. It almost landed on 100. All right.
I know you're not buried under snow there in California, right?
You know what? We had snow in the mountains, you know, and it's gradually going away, 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 away. And you've seen the pictures before, you know, the big mountains outside.
Absolutely.
Of LA, and, yeah, and it's beautiful, and it's 80 degrees, and the Rose Bowl's going on, right? And people are saying, look at that snow. We're moving to California. Warning, if you are a millionaire, you might not want to come to California. And if you're broke, you may not want to come to California, okay? So there you go.
Yeah. And if you're middle class, you may not want to come to California. But snow on the mountains is okay, Chuck, because you're king of the mountains, so you don't have to hide out on top of it, right?
Boy, I tell you. Hey, you know, I'm thinking about buying some stock in that song. You know, we might bring that back, the Duke, 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 you know. So you don't think that mess around with our stock, do you? I mean, like, you know. Oh, that brings me to one of your excellent articles, Game Stopping Freedom. Yeah, censoring the little guy, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's very interesting because I think most everyone knows about the GameStop situation that occurred the Thursday before last. Just to briefly outline it, what happened was we had these big hedge funds, billionaire hedge funds, that were selling short on GameStop. When you sell short, the whole idea is that you want the stock price to go down because that's how you make money. Well, these Redditors online, everyman investors, figured out that there were more short positions on GameStop stock than there were outstanding shares. And they realized, hey, wait a second, if we can all start buying up GameStop shares, we can drive the price up, and we can maybe drive these hedge funds into bankruptcy. They'll lose a lot of money, and at the same time, we can make a very, very nice profit. And their plan was largely successful. But what happened was that the powers that be intervened on behalf of establishment finance. And again, the Thursday before last, they halted the buying of GameStop stock because they didn't want the hedge funds to be hurt too badly. You know, the little guy investor can lose it all. That's okay. But the billionaire hedge funds obviously are too big to fail. And that allowed these billionaire hedge funds, when the trading was stopped, to basically strengthen their short positions and buy new short positions at a much higher price so they'd be guaranteed to make some kind of profit, although I understand they did lose a lot of money. But an underappreciated aspect of this story, Chuck, is that they also silenced these Redditor investors, these investors who were going up against the billionaire hedge funds. What they did was they went into this forum there on Reddit that's called Wall Street Bets. And this is where the people were talking with each other and planning on how they would invest. And they said, hey, you're guilty of hate speech, and so we're going to shut you down. And, of course, the whole thing was nonsense. There was no hate speech there. I cited David Sachs in my article. David Sachs was a co-founder of PayPal. And as he said himself, he appeared on Tucker Carlson Tonight Friday evening. He said, there was no hate speech. It was just some raunchy speech, but it wasn't anything that you wouldn't hear on a Wall Street trading floor or a Wall Street boiler room. But nonetheless, they went onto this online forum, and they took a lot of screenshots, and they isolated anything that could plausibly be identified as hate speech, and they used it as a pretext to shut this forum down. And what I point out in my article is this really relates to a much, much wider issue, and that's that these hate speech laws, or these hate speech, I should say, rules that we have in this country, are used regularly to stifle the little guy, to stifle dissent on behalf of the establishment. Because where have we seen it before, Chuck? Well, we have seen it during the election, and we saw it before then as well, where what the left will do is they will say, oh, this or that entity online is guilty of hate speech, therefore we're going to censor him. And hence you have shadow banning on Twitter, which I've been a victim of, I'm quite sure. Hence you have on Facebook the suppression of conservative commentary, where it's not given a prominent place. Hence you have in Google searches conservative sites being moved down so that they're hard to find. I've been victimized by that as well. I know it for a fact. So what we're seeing here is very, very insidious. And of course, now more recently, it's been done to Donald Trump. He's been banned from many social media platforms, right? Dan Bongino, he's a social commentator. Right. He was suspended from Twitter. So it really is something how this is used so cynically just to kill off, to stifle the establishment's competition.
And I want the listener for one moment to think about, you know, the list that you talk about, you know, that they ban them, right, for what they did. All right. And little small things. But look at Maxine Waters. And she wasn't on the Senate floor. I mean, you know, I guess there's a law that says you can lie as much as you want to whenever you're a congressperson. You know, I never knew that, and I didn't believe it for a long time. But apparently there is a thing. If you lie, they can't hold you accountable. You ever heard that?
Yeah. I don't know if I've heard that Senate. Per se, but in practice, that's what happens.
But look at Maxine Waters, you know, talking about insinuating hate speech. You know, she didn't get banned. You can still watch it on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, when she said that you should get out there and you should confront Trump administration officials publicly, it's unbelievable. Talk about maybe inciting a riot. That's what she was doing. But absolutely, and that brings me to something else. When these Redditors were shut down by the powers that be, well, they also were accused of spreading misinformation. And, I mean, I just want to slap my forehead, Chuck.
Yeah.
Are you serious about that? Spreading misinformation? That coming from politicians and from big social media companies, big tech companies, and from the mainstream media? Politicians deal in misinformation. That's what they trade in. That's how they advance themselves. And what about the mainstream media? Talk about fake news. There's nothing but misinformation six ways to Sunday. What was the Russia hoax all about, which they were pounding away at for years? Now, I'm not justifying lying. On a visceral level, Chuck, I've despised liars. I always have. But the point is that if you're going to talk about suppressing people for misinformation, you better start with all the politicians. You better start with the mainstream media. You can move on to big tech, which will label a post that you put, let's say, on Facebook as containing false information, even when it doesn't. That happened to me. So, I mean, you just talk about the chutzpah of these people. It's absolutely unbelievable. And part of it is that they're flat out lying. It's out of convenience, of course. And part of it is that they actually believe this nonsense. Go ahead.
And I was going to say that, you know, even when they go after the little people, they don't have a chance. They go after Selwyn Duke. He's not a little person, but he's up there, you know, in the middle at least. And I wonder, you know, when I read your report, right, and you said, I bet you thought if Reagan's 1984 became Orwell's 1984, the Ministry of Truth and all that, you have to stop and think, listener, when the Wall Street first started, all right, in the stock market and all this stuff, of course, you know, they were just squeaky clean, right? Had to be squeaky clean. But here's the thing. Back then, you were relying on, you know, them telling you what's happening, and then you maybe the New York Times or a newspaper, but there was nothing like today how, you know, how they censor everything. I mean, you don't know what in the world they got away with.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, remember, what you're seeing here is the Pollard treatment. I'm talking about Pollard.com, which was, and it's going to be back online eventually, I know, a competitor of Twitter's, and the powers that be, big tech, just took it down, again, under the same pretext that hate speech was being peddled via Pollard and also misinformation. I mean, all this nonsense. But you're absolutely right. You know, maybe what you're talking about is this. Remember, when the internet first came to the fore, it was billed as a great engine of democracy. The whole idea was that the common person would now have a voice. You know, he'd be able to say what he wanted to. And that, of course, is exemplified in the term social media. It's called social media because it's supposed to be driven by the social sphere, by all of us. And that's the way it was for a long time. The problem is that the establishment does not actually like these democratic structures because these democratic structures threaten the establishment's power. So this is another lie that they peddle. They will say, oh, well, we have to do something about this hate speech and misinformation online because it's a threat to democracy trademark.
Yeah.
But the truth is just the opposite. They're projecting. They're afraid of democracy, of people coming together, using their voices to influence others online, using their plans to invest collectively online. They're afraid of that. So they, in essence, the establishment, they are the threat to democracy. And that should be obvious. You know, look, Absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? Now, they don't yet have absolute power, but they're getting closer to that. And I want to point out something else about this. It's very, very interesting, Chuck. In a way, they're taking us back to 1965. I didn't quite put this in the article because I ran out of words. You can't make these things too long. But if you think about it, if you go back to 65 or so, we only really had the mainstream media. And they had a monopoly over the hearts and minds of Americans, right? They could control the flow of information. And I'll give you a good example. In 1965, we had that Immigration Reform and Nationality Act that was a nation-rending piece of legislation. It led to our current insane immigration policy. Well, I would contend, Chuck, that if we had had back then talk radio being more prominent, and if we had had the internet, I don't think that would have passed. Because I think it would have received a lot of scrutiny, and I think there would have been a popular uprising against it, at least the internet as it was a few years ago when it was freer. But now what's happening is they want to bring us back to that day where the establishment controls the flow of information. It controlled it back then, like I said, because we just had the mainstream media. Then the establishment media started losing control because the internet came to the fore. And now it had all these competitors, and it doesn't like competitors, right? And so now they want to shut that down. They want to shut people like you and me and so many others down, Parler and whatnot. So again, they can control the flow of information because what do they say? They say knowledge is power. The pen is mightier than the sword. And it's absolutely true. If you can control the flow of information, you can mold the thinking of the public. And if you can do that, you can control who gets elected, and if you can do that, you can perpetuate your power, right?
Yeah, talking about the mole and the public, and boy, look at all those people wearing masks. I wonder what's up with that. You think the people that, you know, are spying on Earth, you know, from another planet are saying, what are they doing? I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't go there. but it's so much easier sometimes to just go along. Just go along with it, yes, okay. Selwyn Duke, the new American. Hey, we're going to get into a study of college diversity. Interesting. All the good stuff is always interesting. From Selwyn Duke. It's Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke.com.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Anthony Mackie and Jamie Dornan play two paramedics in New Orleans who struggle to deal with a series of horrific crimes associated with a new designer drug with time-traveling effects in the new horror sci-fi film Synchronic, now available on Blu-ray.
You all right?
I'm fine. What's going on with you?
I want to know that there's meaning in the things I do.
And there's deeper meaning in the ongoing investigation when the teenage daughter of one of these two buddies mysteriously disappears. The twisty plot is ridiculous, of course, but the performance by Anthony Mackie is superior, and so are the haunting camera work and effects. This film is rated a hard R with gruesome violence and gushing, gaping wounds. 2.5 stars for Synchronic.
This feature brought to you by the Thank Heaven Foundation.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Selwyn Duke, the new American. Let's go to this other one here that you did, Selwyn. And it's a study on college diversity. You know, and once you hear that diversity, you automatically, you know, it's just you hate. I've got to that point where I hate to hear that word. I guess in the 60s you were saying, yeah, you know, we got to make some changes. But my, and it seems like almost every report that I get, and some of the best, of course, if not the best, from Mr. Duke, you always find out that here they are tinkering with something, and you think, I'm so glad they're not working on the dynamite somewhere. You know, it's, I don't know, it's college idiots or what is it? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, diversity, of course, has become a buzzword. And you know what it is, Chuck? It's what they say. This originated with the Nazis. Repeat a big lie often enough, and people will start to believe it. So you hear diversity, 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 and then everyone's supposed to believe it's some great imperative, and no one asks, well, how does diversity make things better? And it doesn't really occur to people that diversity is not a strength, but a difficulty to be overcome. That's what it is. But anyway, I was writing here about this new study that finds that diversity schemes actually worsen stereotypes and intensify alienation. And these schemes are on college campuses. And the report is titled Campus Diversity and Student Discontent: The Costs of Race and Ethnic Preferences in College Admissions. It was written by researcher Althea Nagai. And it's by the Center for Equal Opportunity. That's the think tank that put it out. Anyway, what they say in the
don't they always have great names? You know.
Yeah.
It's for the children.
I guess I've got to come up with a great name.
Well, you know what? Diversity. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you did that for me. You came up with the great name for me, Duke of Earl. So you see, now I can market myself better.
We had it all the time. It was just that I had the expert person working with me that. Found it, you know, Duke of Earl. They said, you can't use that. We can use 12 seconds of it. And then they said, well, what do you call diversity? And I said, well, it doesn't work. Can you prove it? And I said, yeah. Take a pit bull, okay, that's tired of being, you know the bad rap they get? Put a pit bull with a little chihuahua in a cage, leave them there for 3 days, and see how it works. That's my diversity method there. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, what this study says, it's quite long if you look at the PDF, but they state the obvious for one thing. Quote, for the sake of campus diversity, many colleges and universities pass over white and Asian American applicants with better academic preparation, favoring blacks and, to a lesser extent, Hispanics. And they also say, however, CEO, the Center for Equal Opportunity, Statistical Research, Logistic Regression Analyses, they call it, showed that underrepresented minorities, that's what they call people who are benefited in this way, received significant preference over white and Asian American applicants with the same or better academic credentials. Okay, they're just reiterating that. And not only that, though, to be honest, we have to point out, they also say that, quote, whites, in addition, received preference over Asian Americans at several universities. For example, they write, quote, at Harvard, being Asian American was the only statistically negative factor among more than 10 factors considered by the admissions committee.
That one surprised me. I got to tell you, really, it did.
Yeah.
You know?
I point out here in my article, I wonder how many Asians knew about this when they voted, because, in fact, 63% of Americans of Asian descent, in essence, voted for this because they voted for Joe Biden. They empowered the leftists who visit these schemes upon us. But just wanted to mention that.
I wonder how many of those Asian Americans, right, that didn't get into Harvard, see, they also turned out to be Urims. I love that, you know, Urims, underrepresented minorities. You know, come up to a guy you meet, you know, walking out of a store or something, say, you look like a Urim. Oh, thank you. Yeah. They do come up with some nice ones, don't they? All right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't even
like the term underrepresented, because really that's another propaganda term. I mean, what does that mean? But I'll get into that later.
Well, underrepresented means you can't use Parler. See,
yeah,
the reason I'm interrupting you here, Selwyn, is because we're coming up on that world-famous break, and I'm going to let you roll with it when we get back, because this is it's another one, listener, that some of these reports you should – I wonder if you have a file, Selwyn, you know, that says – should have never even become a story. You know what I'm saying? And, boy, I'm telling you, you give people a little bit of control, and it goes crazy. I mean, it goes crazy. And it's even worse if they turn out to be a dictator, I'll tell you. All right. Selwyn Duke, and you spell that name S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E, and that's the website, selwynduke.com. We'll continue with this one, College Diversity Schemes Worsen Stereotypes and Intensify Alienation. We'll be right back.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining al fresco. Romantic, market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails, like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. They want your money, and guess what? They can legally take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you. So what do? Fight back by letting our team of experts at the Tax Helpline work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws and will fight to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597.
When you invest, what do you need? Investors need foresight and prediction so they can invest with confidence. Is the stock market going up and down? What about precious metals or Bitcoin? The stock market may be treading water right now, but now may be a more opportune time to invest in precious metals. Are gold and silver booming? What do you buy? Bullion? Mining stocks? Which ones? The cryptocurrency market is also advancing strongly, but which ones do you buy? John Truman Wolf, former banker and number one best-selling author, gives you the answers in his widely read newsletter, Strategic Financial Intelligence, available at strategicfinancialintelligence.com. Wolf called the breakout of the gold market and the breakout of the silver market. He may not have a crystal ball, but his investment picks tell a story. Metals and digital currencies are on the move. Don't miss out. Go to strategicfinancialintelligence.com and get the Strategic Financial Intelligence newsletter today. Strategicfinancialintelligence.com.
Yes, sir. We got him, the Duke of Earl. That would be one Selwyn Duke talking about college diversity schemes worsen stereotypes and intensify alienation. And I'm going to tell you something, listener. After this one, you don't want to miss the fact that don't go to Washington, D.C. on January 6th. If you were there, watch out because, well, you may have heard the story. If you haven't, you'll want to hear it. You know, it's interesting here that Joe Biden's administration dropped a Trump-era federal lawsuit against Yale University. The thing is, we talk about Tucker Carlson all the time. He always brings up Yale when he decides he's going to put down one college. You ever notice that?
Yeah, he does. I guess he believes that Yale really is the quintessence of the overrated Ivy League. The Biden administration dropped that Trump-era lawsuit against Yale University, and that lawsuit was meant to address that institution's discrimination against whites and Asian descent Americans. Mm-hmm. And as I pointed out, unfortunately, though, 63% of Asian descent Americans did vote for Biden. But anyway, let me not rehash that. So we have these diversity schemes on college campuses that serve to create discrimination, like I said, against whites and Asian Americans. But people will say, but wait a second, but they really do help other people. They help blacks and Hispanics, right? Well, not according to this report that we're citing here. And what they say, this study, is, quote, racial preference in admissions creates race consciousness and mismatch. And the latter, Chuck, is when students are put into an academic environment that's just too difficult for them. And the report writes, quote, admissions committees keep the degree of mismatch secret. Mismatched students disproportionately drop out of STEM, change to non-STEM majors, transfer to other schools, and take longer to graduate. And the academic disparities from mismatch continue throughout college. Now, this is an interesting subject because you know who wrote a lot about this? The late Professor Walter E. Williams. Now, he was a black economics professor. Unfortunately, he died in January. It was a great loss. I've quoted him in print more than anyone else next to G.K. Chesterton, believe it or not. And I had the pleasure of appearing with him on a radio show once. But anyway, he told a story that relates to this. And it was about when he was a much younger man and he was seeking a position at a college. He interviewed at some very prestigious university. I believe it was Ivy League. And he was offered the job. And he declined it. And the interviewer probably wanted to know why. And he said, well, because I'm not qualified for this position on paper, and I'm sure he was qualified in reality because he was brilliant, but he said, because I'm not qualified for this position on paper, it would be obvious that you just hired me because of my race. That's what he said. And then later on, Chuck, when he accepted his position where he ultimately ended up teaching George Mason University, he told the interviewer, this is what he related, if I find out that you hired me only because of my race, I will quit on that day. That's what he said. But most people don't do that. And what he wrote about, this academic mismatch phenomenon, is very interesting. Like I said, you put kids who really aren't qualified for a given high-level college in that college, then they start to falter. And Professor Williams made the point that this hurts black students egregiously because instead of being in colleges that they'd be matched up for, where they could do better and prosper, they're put into these environments where they don't. And this causes a lot of problems. It causes heartache on their part. It causes resentment. It often causes failure and a spirit of defeatism. And Williams pointed out something else very significant and obvious. He said these students, when they enter into these situations, really have no way of knowing that they're not going to be qualified. And why? Because of the affirmative action mentality to begin with. And what he said is that in primary and secondary education, too many students nowadays are socially promoted. In other words, they're passed through to the next grade even if they haven't mastered the coursework. And so they're given these fraudulent high school diplomas, Chuck, but many times they have no way of knowing that these diplomas are fraudulent. They think they've gotten a good education. So then what happens is they go into these college environments and reality hits them hard, and then they start seeing they're not getting good grades, unlike maybe some other kids. And then what do they attribute that to? Well, Professor Williams said what they're going to tend to do is they attribute that to discrimination, to racial discrimination, because that's their only explanation. Not only is it a good excuse, and humans will glom on to convenient excuses, but they can't know any different. I mean, they've been taught to believe that they got a legitimate education and that they should be qualified. So it's very bad all the way through.
And I love your example, of the social promotion fooldom and the believing, they had the qualifications, they didn't. Tell the listener for a perfect example. When I read this, Sal, and I was thinking, some people probably think, I don't care, I don't care if they're dropping out of psychology, engineering, mathematics, STEM. Yeah, that's one of the visas, by the way, listener, STEM. Yeah, just so you know, so you're up against that. But there is a big difference. And not only if they say, oh, you qualify to be a brain surgeon or any type of surgeon, tell them the one you mentioned in here and just think about it.
Oh, with the plane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if you have a...
No, I mean, absolutely. If you think about what happens with social promotion is, it's akin to giving someone poor training and a fraudulent pilot's license, right? And then letting them find out the truth by crashing a plane. That really is what it's like. And that is what happens, so to speak. And here are other findings of the study that we're citing here. I mentioned a few. They also write, quote, Black students experienced greater first-year grade shock, that's how they put it, greater discounting of academic feedback, greater alienation, less attachment to the university, and greater dissatisfaction with their overall college experience. Pre-college academic factors were strong predictors of these psychological setbacks. And many underrepresented minorities would have gone somewhere else had they known where they ranked. That's what the report states. And this is basically what Walter Williams was saying as well. If these kids had been told the truth all along, they could have made better decisions. But they're given these fraudulent high school diplomas, and they have adults lying to them their whole lives, and being deceived never helps you. Lies have short legs, as the saying goes.
I like that.
And what are the other results of this? Well, the report also found, quote, students are generally less happy. Racial preferences beneficiaries end up feeling more victimized and alienated. Campus diversity increases social self-segregation. So it does not help with integration. It drives people apart. And then, quote, diversity admissions create resentment and stigma. And lastly, quote, stereotypes and feelings of injustice are reinforced for both whites and blacks. So this is just bad all the way around. It really is. But there's a deeper issue here, Chuck, if I may get into it. I told you that I didn't like the term underrepresented before, that really it was a propaganda term. And the reason for that is Walter Williams said in one of his articles about academic mismatch, he said he's often asked, well, if we don't have this affirmative action, though, how will we have enough black students? And his response was, well, that's their problem. Black people can't afford to have our youngsters, this is what he said, turned into failures so that in the name of diversity, race hustlers and white liberals can feel better. And I said, that's a really good answer, but here's another one. When you say enough black students, what's enough? What's enough of anyone? Does the NFL have enough women? Does the NBA, which is 74.2% black, Chuck, have enough white and Asian descent players? And Asians, by the way, in the NBA are only 0.4% of the league. Does nursing have enough men? And who determines what enough is? You know, some people may say, Chuck, that a given arena should reflect the wider population's group composition, let's say. But that's silly. It's unrealistic because this standard first is applied selectively. In other words, it would never be applied to the NBA. But there's never been a time or place in history, Chuck, where groups were equally or proportionately represented across endeavors. It's never happened because whether we like it or not, and you can debate the cause of it, the fact is that groups have different characteristic strengths and weaknesses. And for this reason, they perform differently in many fields. So the conception of enough, quote-unquote, is completely arbitrary. It's just ridiculous.
Well, I'll tell you something. When you talk about does groups have enough varying characteristic strengths and weaknesses, does the girls' race team have enough transgender? Is there going to be a quota for that pretty soon?
Yeah, well, it's going to have – the girls' race team will have enough boys on it soon. We know that with Biden in office and the policies he's visiting upon us.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, diversity criteria also are just so subjective because if you think about it, they focus, let's say, on race and to a lesser extent ethnicity, but there are many measures of diversity, aren't there? I mean, for instance, I provided this example. Take our Supreme Court. It's approximately 22% Jewish, even though Jews are only about 2.2% of our population. And the Supreme Court is maybe, and I say maybe because we're not sure what Gorsuch's religion is maybe 11% Protestant, but our nation is 43% Protestant. So we have to ask, does the Supreme Court have enough Protestants? So, yeah, it's all so ridiculous. You know, diversity is what the puppeteers, the left-wing social engineers, define it as being, and they always define it in a way that augments or advances their agenda.
You know, when I read this, Selwyn, I got to tell you, like, for example, when you're talking about the Supreme Court, and I'm thinking, gosh, you know, if Biden reads this, right? All right, so we don't have enough Protestant judges and all. You never know what door it's going to open, right?
Right. Well,
I mean, they'll use it for, you know, excuses to do everything, you know, all of a sudden. We've got to change everything around to go with our agenda, you know. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, exactly. And, you know, if we truly just had our eyes on meritocracy and we weren't race obsessed, we wouldn't even be thinking about these things. I mean, do we trouble over the fact that the NFL is 100% male, that there are no women there? I mean, that's the way it is. Or that, like I said earlier, nursing is predominantly female. I mean, no, we don't. The truth is not everyone is the same. Men and women gravitate towards different careers in general. Like I said, different groups have different characteristic strengths and weaknesses, and you can argue why that is, nature, nurture, or a combination of the two, but that's the reality of the matter. I mean, we were talking earlier about how Americans of Asian descent are discriminated against in college admissions because they tend to do so well, and if you judge everyone based on merit, you are going to have an inordinate number of Asians at your university, let's say. Well, okay, but we know why that is, at least in part. I mean, we know that Americans of Asian descent very much do prioritize schoolwork, and they tend to be very industrious. That's part of their culture. And so you see that they're prospering in that regard. And that shouldn't be something that bothers us. If anything, we should use it as a good example. We should say, okay, well, if you think other groups are lagging behind them, and whites do as well, by the way, then those groups should be encouraged to emulate Asian descent Americans in that regard. We shouldn't be stigmatizing them. We shouldn't be discriminating against them. That's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. And I conclude by saying, you know, if we want to talk about enough, this whole idea of enough, not enough this, not enough that, well, it's going to continue until we all say enough is enough.
Yeah.
And even one left-wing social engineer is too many. When we say that, all this nonsense will end.
You know, and enough of this white suppression, you know. Hey, you got to forget your whiteness, you know. Shame on you, shame on you. I mean, it's, pretty soon you won't be able to get in because you're white, I guess. Coming pretty close, I would imagine. Well, some shocking news that came out, and I saw this report when it came out too, Selwyn, and I have a very close relative that works in a bank, but not the Bank of America. And she told me that what we're going to talk about is that you got to get a subpoena before you can do any of this. And I keep waiting to ask somebody about it. And here Selwyn is. And it's a report on the Bank of America who fed customer data after the Capitol riot, I'm sorry, gave it to the, FBI, right?
Right, yeah. I believe so, yes, absolutely.
Go ahead, sir. We got about a minute and a half before the break, and then we can finish this up after. But get into
okay.
This one.
Well, let's lay out how outrageous this is. As I pointed out in my article, Apple, the company, actually refused to give the FBI encrypted data from a phone belonging to a Muslim terrorist, the one who perpetrated the San Bernardino shooting, which killed 14 people, refused to give that data to the FBI. Then we had Google. Google refused to do artificial intelligence work for the Pentagon, but then what did it do? It did work helping China censor its own people. Okay? So that's the mentality of corporate America nowadays, it seems. But now we see that Bank of America turns around, and it is no problem at all handing over private information of innocent customers to federal investigators. And why? Simply because they're on a witch hunt for Capitol Riot right-wing extremists. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous, Chuck. And Tucker Carlson reported on this a few days ago, and that's the source, and they obtained, his show did, exclusive information pertaining to this. He said that Bank of America is the second largest bank in the country. It has more than 60 million customers, but nonetheless, it's actively, quote, but secretly engaged in the hunt for extremists in cooperation with the government. And it shared this information without the knowledge of its customers, Chuck. They had no idea, and these were completely innocent people. These were not like the perpetrators of the San Bernardino shooting, who I mentioned earlier, who were guilty and who were in custody. And in that case, like I said, Apple would not turn over their phone data to the FBI.
Right.
These were completely innocent people.
You know, and they could have been there to look at the monuments, right, or whatever, or to visit a relative. But if you went there for whatever reason, if you were in that vicinity, woo, watch out. And when we come back, we'll give you the profile. That won't take too long about what they were trying to track down and where. And oh, this is unbelievable. And Selwyn Duke's got the story, The New American. His website is Selwyn, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E, .com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378.
800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flare, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef. Broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Yes, the Duke of Earl is here. The Selwyn Duke reporting on one of his latest. If you want to read this, go to SelwynDuke.com. February 5th, Bank of America giving the feds customer data. Yeah, after the Capitol riot. Say it ain't so. Yes, it is. Man, seems like so many implications here. So what were they looking for? Let's get that out, okay?
Okay, well, here was the profile. This is according to Tucker Carlson. I'm quoting him now. One, customers confirmed as transacting either through bank account, debit card, or credit card purchases in Washington, D.C. between 1-5 and 1-6. Two, purchases made for hotel/Airbnb RSVPs in D.C., Virginia, and Maryland after 1-6, January 6th. Three, any purchase of weapons or at a weapons-related merchant between 1-7 and their upcoming suspected stay in the D.C. area around Inauguration Day. And four, airline-related purchases since 1-6, unquote. Now, the thing about that, of course, is if you look at those criteria, they're amazingly broad. They would encompass a lot of people. And, of course, that's what happened. Bank of America identified a total of 211 customers, Chuck, who met those criteria. And one of these people actually was brought in for questioning, but he was cleared. So they didn't actually find anyone who was guilty of anything. Now, let's put this in further perspective. Obviously, you have to have law enforcement, and if there's a legitimate threat out there, there has to be investigation, but you're supposed to follow the law. You should get a warrant from a judge, first of all. That's the proper way to do it. But second of all, we would like it if our intelligence agencies and our police agencies exhibited at least some sign that they're in touch with reality. And what I mean is, what are they investigating here? They're investigating something that maybe you could call a riot at the Capitol on January 6th. Although, if we want to quote Ilhan Omar, we could just say, well, you can characterize it this way, quote, some people did something, right? Yeah, that's what she said about 9/11. But okay, so you had the situation at the Capitol. They want to call it an insurrection, but it was not an insurrection. What happened at Chaz last year in Seattle, where you had armed left-wingers taking over part of the city for a few weeks, that was an insurrection by their own admission. They called what they were doing the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. Now, don't get me wrong, it was a lame insurrection, but it was an insurrection nonetheless. But this here was nothing of the sort, yet they're making a mountain out of a molehill here, and they're doing it because they, the left, are using this as a Reichstag fire moment. They're using this for their own advantage. They want to exaggerate the magnitude of the event so they can use it to further strip civil liberties, to further seize power, and so that they have a convenient scapegoat, so-called white supremacists, you know, a vanishingly small group.
This is a wake-up call.
And could you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if they put all this effort into trying to thwart all the left-wing rioters from last year?
Hey, and I'll tell you something else, listener. There's the bill. This is February 4th about nullifying the Second Amendment. And I wished I'd had time to get into it because I wanted to tell Selwyn. Sheila Jackson Lee from Texas is the one. You know, you got to have a psychological evaluation to see if you can have a gun or not. She's the one, remember when they sent the rocket up to Mars with a camera and all this? And she wanted to know, Are they going to swing the camera around so we can see the flags that were planted up there on Mars? And she wants you to get evaluated. Selwyn, we in a heap of trouble.
I won't pass their evaluation, I can assure you.
All right. Thank you, Selwyn Duke. Look forward to our next visit.
God bless.
Hey, thank you very much, Jeremy Dayton. And please remember that absolutely no animals were injured during the production of this here program.